to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Hiyana. This is the program where we expose the misconceptions associated with religion and politics, with military and economic schemes. This morning, rather than presenting the news, I'm going to try to explain why these things are happening so that you can protect those that you love. Then during our second hour, speaking of those that we love, we're going to engage God on His terms through His Torah, which, my friends, means law. Does not mean law, excuse me for my slip, which does not mean law, but instead means teaching. And by way of His one and only covenant. If you're rational, I promise this will be the best part of today's program. I would encourage you to call us today, 877-300-7645. Yesterday, a friend of mine, Larry, who has called into the program, my number...
Most
people think that loyalty to is actually the appropriate course of action. And so it is a very unpopular story that we have to tell, but yet it is a story that everyone needs to hear. Should they want to come to know God as He is, should they want to engage in a relationship with Him? Because until you come to realize that man's institutions, man's themes, whether they be political or whether they be religious, whether they be military or economic, that they are not only unreliable, but that allegiance to them leads everyone away from God. Religions aren't all spokes in a wheel that all form independent paths to God, but instead all spokes that lead directly away from Him, to being crushed, to being reduced to nothingness at the end of one's life. Now, I don't do this because I'm looking for followers. I have none and I want none. I don't do this because I'm seeking a financial gain. I'm not paid for this program and have no interest in gaining financially. I do this strictly as a labor of love. Do not want fame, which is why I'm doing it under an alias. That's not my message that I'm communicating. The lower profile that I have in this program, the happier I would be. This is done strictly as a friend. And that may seem odd, since I am so hostile to the things that friends are normally supportive of. Politics and religion. Patriotism. One's military. But if you're a friend and you know that things are wrong and you know for certain what God said about them and the reasons why it is important that people know that the very things that most adhere to are deadly, damning, forsaking, you couldn't be much of a friend if you didn't share your concern over those things, if you didn't help to awaken your friend, to help them understand that the popular way isn't the right way. And so it is in sharing this message that we're going to hurt a lot of feelings, that we're going to speak against religions, all of them, Judaism, Islam, Christianity, Hinduism, and of course, socialist secular humanism, which has become the national religion of Western Europe and America. It is the national religion of vast populations of people, particularly in China. We are going to present an alternative to religion, an alternative to politics. And this is very much unlike every other radio program, where the host is typically conservative and bashes the Republican Party and Republican policies. Well, we'll have something in common there. We will bash the Democrats and the liberal parties and liberal candidates. But we will also bash, expose and condemn, if you prefer that term, expose and condemn Republicans and conservative politics because they are no better. Every year, Americans are faced with a choice of the lesser of two evils. And it's very difficult most years to know who really is the lesser of two evils. And so this idea that we should cling to our favorite political party and candidates as if they will provide salvation for America, and that's what both of them are promising, to save America. No, America's way too far gone to be saved. If you're looking for salvation, if you're looking for hope, you're not going to find it in your country. You're not going to find it in politics. And most certainly, you're not going to find it in religion, which is probably the most deceitful and beguiling institution this world has ever known. There's only one place to find the truth, and that is the testimony of Yahweh himself. And we find that testimony in only one place. We find that testimony in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. The only exception to the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms are the words of Yahusha, who mostly quoted the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms,
explained the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, lived the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, and with almost every answer to almost every question, pointed the person who was searching to the Torah, prophets, and Psalms for understanding. And so we could say with a great deal of certainty and clarity that there is a singular place to search for the truth, and that is in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. And yet we have these issues with religion whereby there is this myth, mostly promoted by Paul, that the Torah, prophets, and Psalms have been annulled, that there's a New Testament, that there's a new and improved version of God, that there's a new plan, and that the Torah, prophets, and Psalms were mean and harsh and impossible to live under and had no ability whatsoever to save, that those who were under the law were condemned, and it is only those who have placed their faith in the gospel of grace that will be saved. And yet, that mantra is completely inconsistent with God's testimony. And therefore, if that God proved that he is God, and he did through prophecy, then the basis of Christianity, Pauline doctrine, is absolutely false. So it is, my friends, that we are going to continue to expose religion and politics. It was Paul in his letter to the Romans that talked Christians into this myth that they should submit to their governments. It's untrue. God does not want us to do that. It is the myth of the Roman Catholic Church that chose to embrace, but I, Paul, say, rather than Yah's testimony, that created this misconception that we can somehow be saved without even coming to know who God is, without embracing, understanding, even knowing what he had to say. Simply believe. Don't know. Don't bother understanding. And everything will be fine, so long as you're a member of the church, so long as you are contributing to the church. Well, I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. We apologize for the brief interruption in our program, but we will return after the break. Well, good morning and welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. We're back through the normal communication medium this morning. So I apologize for the blip there in the preceding segment. We had it. I think our first failure as it relates just to the connectivity. But what I hope that failure often can lead to something good. It often does. You know, I was having an exchange with Larry, who co-hosted the program yesterday, and you know, he said, I think I was a little nervous to get started, but then it felt pretty comfortable talking with folks as the program progressed. And what I shared with him is something that causes me to want to share this with you, is that the worst I've ever done on radio interviews or radio programs, and I've now done well over 3,000 hours of these. Yeah, I'm sure that's surprising for some of you listening to say, you know, after all that time, you ought to be better at it than he appears to be. But nonetheless, I've done some 3,000 hours of these, more than that. And I would say the single worst I've ever done was a program on a show that's now hosted on the Genesis Communication Network. It was Dr. Stan. I had done Dr. Stan's program, oh, I don't know, scores of times. And typically, Dr. Stan would say, you know, we're going to talk about this subject tonight. And I'd say, okay, it's fine. And you know, he, every 5 minutes or so, would ask a question, and I'd go off, and we'd talk typically about Islam, is the subject that he wanted me to talk about. I'm prepared on that as probably anybody in the world. And so that was our normal routine. And then I had told Dr. Stan that, you know, I really had my fill
on talking about Islam. I've done it so much now. I've written so many books on it. I've done everything I can to awaken people to the true nature of this religion and have made so little progress in it. I mean, you know, here I've got a website that's been read by 1,000 pages, the most comprehensive, best documented presentation of the Islamic scriptures ever written. Been visited by millions of people around the world, and have done all of these radio interviews on syndicated shows of every ilk in the country. And that was really sufficient. As far as I was concerned, I had done all I could do. And it made so little difference. I mean, you look now, and our president is going to go and talk to the United Nations, and he'll make the same comment about the film, calling the innocence of Muslims repulsive and disgusting. And it's not repugnant. It's not repulsive. It's not disgusting. It's not inaccurate. It's childish. It's amateurish. It's very, very poorly produced. It's silly. But it's not disgusting. It's true. Muhammad was a sexual pervert. That's the reality. It's not my interpretation. It's not my opinion. It's the only verdict that can be drawn from the evidence. The film said he was a pedophile. Yes, he was. Absolutely confirmed by the oldest Islamic sources. Muhammad was a pedophile. It suggests that he was a rapist. Yes, he was. Raped many women. It suggested that he was a mass murderer, and indeed he was. He led 75 ruthless terrorist raids in the first 10 years of the Islamic era. The movie's not disgusting. It's not reprehensible. Even when it suggests that Muhammad was suicidal, he was, twice in his life. He is, in his own words, tells us that he was suicidal, that he wanted to kill himself. So the movie's not errant. Those themes are all true. Now, I understand the movie has another claim that he can't claim he was homosexual because he was the trailer shows him having a perverted relationship with children, girls. And there is no indication other than one Quran verse that he was even bisexual. There is a Quran passage. Muhammad made up the Quran. The Quran is a document that satiates Muhammad's personal lust for sex, power, and money. It's the only informed conclusion that can be drawn from the evidence, my friends. And if you doubt the veracity of that statement, then I encourage you to read Prophet of Doom. You can go there, prophetofdoom.net. Examine the evidence for yourself. But there's one passage in the Quran where the virgins in paradise that are there to satiate the carnal conquest and desires of Muslim jihadists are boys. And it speaks of the shame that is associated with homosexuality on earth, where people exchange glances and they look the other way, look awry at the individual, and the individual tries to indulge in the acts of homosexuality privately as opposed to publicly, that will not exist when they have homosexual sex in the Islamic paradise. So even that theme may have some auspice of truth to it. But after all of that effort, you still have politicians and the president telling people that the themes of the movie are untrue. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. We will be back after the commercial break. Hello, welcome back to Shattering Myths. If you'd like to join this discussion, feel free to do so. 877-300-7645. I was going about a very long journey to get back to a topic that is important to communicate. It pretty much sets this program kind of on the right foundation. And what I was sharing with Larry is that when you're conveying God's message, the messenger is irrelevant. And so what I was saying is that after all of this effort on Islam, it was sort of like putting your finger in a glass of water and pulling it out. You know, your finger's wet. You know, the water may be a little dirty now, but other than that, it made no difference. And that's kind of what caused me to realize that this is what we should be expecting. Now, as you turn to Jan's message, I told you I was on Dr. Stan's show, and I for the first time we were going to talk about something that was really contrary to Dr. Stan's beliefs and contrary to the beliefs of most of his listeners. And I did a show on why it was important to recognize that Paul was a false prophet, why you should disregard virtually everything the man had to say, and how the religion of Christianity was totally and completely unreliable and false. And it was the single most listened to show, I think, ever for Dr. Stan. It was the most responses Dr. Stan had ever had to any show, and they were mixed, half favorable, half unfavorable, but way too controversial. People saying such things as, you know, if you have that guy on the show again, I'm not going to be a listener. People don't want to know the truth in most cases. The lie is what they base their whole lives around. Well, that particular program, I was the least prepared I've ever been, because I had to talk to Dr. Stan in advance and said, this is what we're going to talk about, and we usually do a Q&A. He'll ask a question, and, you know, and I'll answer the question. Well, he introduced the show, and that was it for the next 2 hours. Rather than having something prepared that I could walk people logically through, there we were. Where do we start? Where are we going to start with a question? How do we transition? Where do we end? How much of this story do I try to tell? Without a single note, without any preparation. And I think I was awful. But it didn't matter. Because it was that program that really influenced more people than any other I've ever done. Received more letters on it. More people have come to know Yahweh through that awful performance than through anything else. Why is that? Because I, too, am irrelevant. Now, I go by the name Yada here for a lot of reasons, and one is because I'm irrelevant. We're not talking about my message. Matters not if you come to know me. You most certainly shouldn't trust me. Shouldn't trust any person. That's God's message to us. Moshe didn't have followers. I don't want followers. The message that he has to deliver is very unpopular. God has broad shoulders. He knows that 99.999% of the people who hear it are going to reject it. They're even going to be hostile to it. It's okay with that. He knows that his messengers are certainly going to garner the wrath of people. Many have been killed. He knows that as well. But God also recognizes that if people are going to come to know him, it's going to be because they come to know him through his testimony. They embrace the terms and conditions of his covenant. And they go on a voyage of discovery with him through his word, because that's what excites them, because that's what motivates them, because that's where they find the greatest satisfaction in life. I'm there. Larry's there. So many people around the world have gone on the same journey. And when you recognize that that is the reality, that God wants to work through a flawed implement, someone who knows that they're irrelevant to the process, that all they're there to do is say, God told us this. This is what he's really like. Now, he wants us to walk away from religion, from politics, from our national patriotism, our country. He knows that for most of us, we have to walk away from our human families to walk to his family and be part of it. That God does not have a New Testament. That there is no such thing as the gospel of grace. That Paul was a liar. And what I have found is that on a morning like today, where the technology goes awry, sometimes that's the most effective time of all. We can just talk, speak from the heart, tell you what's important to know, why we share this message. And so I hope this morning turns out to be a morning like this, and our flaws, that some of you out there who just know deep down there's something terribly wrong with your religion, something deeply wrong with your political allegiance, something deeply wrong with this supporting of our military and having almost everything we do turn out so badly, something wrong when we engage in economic pedophilia and indulge ourselves indebting our children. Something tragically wrong in our rhetoric. Something tragically wrong in the world when a silly movie that whose themes happen to be accurate enrage people around the world to kill. And yet our government apologizes for the movie. Something deeply wrong. And hopefully, through these kinds of programs, those of you who know there's just something not right and that God and His plans have to be different than all of this gunk, so unreliable, so irrational, that there really has to be a God who is different than all of this, beyond all of this, who doesn't create a path to Him that relies on us accepting all of these lies and misconceptions and irrational conclusions of religion. You know, a great example is this notion that in Christianity, almost every important theme was born and bred in Babylon. Christmas and Easter, Babylonian holidays, Sunday worship, Babylonian, both in the day and the purpose. God doesn't want to be worshipped. He spoke of the Sabbath. He has seven parties that He has invited us to attend each year, and neither of them are Christmas and Easter, and they have nothing to do with Christmas and Easter, which are wholly Babylonian and pagan. God said He was one. There is no Trinity. Cross was a pagan symbol, not part of Yah's testimony. God didn't die so that we might live. He didn't come to die. He came to expose His Torah, His guidance, to fulfill His promises. And those promises are Passover and unleavened bread and first fruits, seven Sabbaths. And so, if through our technical glitches and our flaws, some of you out there saying, you know, there's something that really isn't right about my religion. God says He's one, and my religion says there's a Trinity. God says, I want you to observe the Shabbat, the Sabbath, and we're focused on Sundays. That God says, I have a name, and my name is Yahweh. And He says it 7,000 times in His Torah, prophets, and Psalms. And we call God by Satan's title, Lord. Which God, in His own testimony, says is the single greatest crime that's ever been perpetrated by mankind. And you know that there's something wrong with that. That there's something wrong with this Christian myth that you become saved and then you come to know God. Why would God want to save anybody that doesn't know Him, hasn't even bothered to get to know Him, and probably wouldn't like Him once they came to know Him in the first place? So it is these things that I want you to think about. And we share them. We expose and condemn religion and politics and militarism so that you begin to question. Because once you've begun to question, then you're freed to walk away from these things. And once you walk away from them, disassociate from them, then you're free to embrace the Torah, God's teaching. You are free for the first time in your life to come to know God as He really is, to engage in this covenant relationship with Him and allow Him then to perfect you, to embrace you, to nurture you, to help you grow, to have fun with you as you explore His universe and His Word. And that's what we're about in this program. Now, in just the few minutes we have left in the news section, I do want to turn to it. Today, we read of something extraordinarily distressing in the world of politics and religion, even militarism, also economics. The themes of all of these come resounding through in these words. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said on Monday, yesterday, that Israel has no roots in the Middle East and would be eliminated ignoring a UN warning to avoid incendiary rhetoric ahead of the annual General Assembly session. Imagine that. The General Assembly is concerned about incendiary rhetoric. They're not concerned about lying. They have no interest in the truth. They're only interested in incendiary rhetoric. If we all talk nice, you know, like coexist bumper sticker, the world's all going to be fine. That if we don't expose and condemn the religion of Islam for corrupting the likes of Ahmadinejad, that he won't develop his nuclear weapons. He won't deploy them against the United States and Israel. Let's just talk nicely and everybody will get along. No. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is irrational. He is ignorant because he was raised a Muslim. He is wrong because he is a Muslim. Not picking on Islam, not in particular. Christians are wrong. Hindus are wrong. Those who are Orthodox, Pharisaical Jews are wrong. But religion ever conceived is upside down as Islam. The reality is that the only people who can show deep roots in that land would be Yisrael. And we'll speak to that when we come back after the break about God's chosen people and about why Muslims despise them and want them eliminated. I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. We were talking about a single line. And in a single line, if you understand the motivations behind it, if you understand the spirit behind it, then all of a sudden you're empowered to understand not only the religion of Islam, you're empowered to understand what the future is going to bring. You understand to a great degree who Yahweh is, what he loves. How is it that you could say all of that about Iranian President Ahmadinejad saying that Israel has no roots in the Middle East and would be eliminated? How from that? Well, here's how. It's obviously untrue. Israel has roots that go back, well, back to Abraham. When Abraham and Yishak and Jacob were brought to the promised land by Yahweh. When they returned from their captivity in Egypt, that was around 1400 BCE, 3,400 years ago, or 3,500 years ago, if you look before they left Israel to for Egypt briefly, 400 years and returned. The most accurate, the most detailed presentation of a nation's birth, of a people's journey, is presented in Yah's Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. There is nothing that even comes close to it in terms of ancient history. Nothing. I mean, not even remotely. It is the most comprehensive and the best documented presentation of a people's history and the birth of a nation that exists anywhere in the world. Not anything even remotely close to it. More old copies of it by almost 50 times than the next most popular extant history, and that would be the highly fictionized Iliad. Nothing, even remote. If you take the clay tablets that have been found in Babylon, the inscriptions of the Hittites, the hieroglyphics of the Egyptians, nothing is even within a hundredfold as comprehensive or as accurate, as detailed, as the history of God's chosen people, of his promised land. And yet, someone like Ahmadinejad can say that Israel has no roots in the Middle East. Now, why would he say something that is so contrary to established evidence? And why would the UN say, hey, you know, we should avoid incendiary rhetoric as opposed to don't lie? This is not a forum for lying. How could you be so stupid? All you did there was embarrass yourself. But he didn't embarrass himself because most people just don't know. They're ignorant. They think there's a Palestinian people, so there must be a Palestine. No, there aren't. The last Philistine was killed 2,500 years ago. And so, with these words, what we come to know is that the God of Islam wants to destroy everything that Yahweh loves. Yahweh loves the chosen people. He loves the promised land. Everything that he has done for us, he did in Yisrael. He did for his family. Allah wishes to destroy that which God loves because Allah is Satan. Allah is Satan. He is the adversary. He opposes everything that God loves. He wants to eliminate Israel. He wants to kill every Jew. It's not that he wants to steal the allegiance of Jews from Yahweh. It's not that he wants to take Israel for himself. He wants to destroy it. That's what the Quran communicates. That's what the Hadith reveals. When you come to know the truth, you will know why he said that Israel has no roots in the Middle East and must be eliminated. You will understand the nature of his God, Satan. You will understand the nature of Islam and the message that it is communicating. And more importantly, you will also come to know where the world is headed, what's going to happen in the next 20 years, where Team Islam combines in its rage as we're witnessing across the globe to assault Israel, the United States, and anyone who opposes the surrender to Islam. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. Have you ever wondered why farmers can keep their livestock lean and healthy just by feeding them minerals and a nutrient-dense diet? Before